This episode of the Disney Film Project is sponsored by TouringPlans.com. Head over to TouringPlans.com and use their tools to save yourself time and money when you are at Walt Disney World or Disneyland. You can use the Lines application on your mobile phone, use the crowd calendar to figure out which parks to hit which days, or use the Touring Plans to save time and money waiting in line. TouringPlans.com is the sponsor of this episode of the Disney Film Project.
Everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Disney Film Project podcast. This is not Ryan Kilpatrick. We've hung him up somewhere to dry. We don't know what happened to him. Lord knows where we left him. He could be playing in a fountain or something like that. We don't know. Attacked by children. Who knows? This is Todd Perlmutter instead, and I'm taking over because I'm in charge of this episode. That's right. But guess what, folks? Don't worry, because you'll still get some Kilpatrick action, because here is Sally Kilpatrick. Really, everybody's favorite Kilpatrick.
Yes, today the part of Ryan Kilpatrick will be played by Sally Kilpatrick.
And how do you feel about that, Sally?
Well, I'm in Epcot, so very good.
Yes, very good. I like this. We also have with us Brianna, and she's here hanging out with us. I know he usually introduces her as Bree, but I don't know. She's standing here, and I felt like Brianna, because this is my episode again. All right, let's make sure we understand that. All right, and here she is for everybody's enjoyment. Brianna.
Hi, guys. This is like the Perlmutter takeover. It's awesome. It's yes, scary, though.
Yes, it is. I like taking over.
I miss Ryan.
Oh, sure. Fine. Dissenter. And, of course, the person who is probably about to kill me, Cheryl Perlmutter, my lovely wife. Remember, I said lovely wife.
I just want to say that this is all my fault because I decided we were on vacation and I wanted an easy edit. So this is why we've got this episode, guys. Forgive me, but reminded this is a hard job.
That's right. Mind you, that probably means no edits. Just saying, folks. Be prepared. All right. So what we're doing here is we're just going to come in, and we're sitting in the front entry area to Captain EO. We figured this was a movie. It's at Epcot. We're at Epcot. We're doing the International Food and Wine Festival, which needs, like, lots of oxygen to say. And so we're about to go in, and we're going to have fun. Does anyone have anything initial they want to say about Captain EO? Anything?
I'm excited to see it again because I love this.
Okay. What? Anything particular you like about it? You're looking forward to
the
seeing
80s cheesiness.
All right, 80s cheesiness. This is a term you will see here a lot. It was very much quoted when they were bringing it back that 80s cheesiness is what this is all about. It's a low tech to an awful point of space movie. And it's like, you know, it's like a B-rated science fiction movie, which makes it good, because that's the whole point of a B-rated science fiction movie.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Sally, anything you're looking forward to?
This is actually only the second time I've been able to see this, so we'll see if I can find some goals, motivation, and conflict for Ryan while I'm here.
Ryan's favorite term. Everybody loves those, we know. So, all right, we're going to go in. We also have Shalon and Dana with us, and I'll let them comment too at the end if they want to. All right, everybody, we're going in. Catch you on the flip side. Okay, folks, we're back. Guess what? We just finished watching Captain EO. I know. We told you that's what we were going to do. What can I tell you? All right, so we're going to go down the line, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. So hang on. Here's Brianna. Brianna's going to, like, just give us a brief rundown of what she loved about it, and then we can talk more specifically for a couple minutes. All right, so here she goes.
Well, what I love most about Captain EO is Fuzzball, which we were just discussing, which Dana calls the rat with butterfly wings. Maybe that's why I like him, because he's like a butterfly. But I love the whole movie. It's only 17 minutes, but it's a lot of fun. And, you know, like we were saying, it's 80s cheesy goodness from start to finish. And, I mean, for back then, the special effects were kind of cool. But yeah, I always love to come here and see this, so.
Okay, cool.
And here is Mrs. Kilpatrick, the better half of the Kilpatrick clan. Here she is.
I can get behind any movie where we're saving the world one pelvic thrust at a time. So it always amuses me. Bonus points for having a place to sit down and air conditioning, and for having what looks like the leftover footage from the Death Star run.
Okay. Cheryl, now you got to talk. Here you go.
So one of the comments that Sally made was about rainbows. And so one of the Muppet songs is riding around some of these songs about rainbows. But wait, there's a movie about rainbows. So, hey, at least there's a movie about rainbows.
A movie about rainbows. Oh, because he has the rainbow on his chest and stuff like that.
Rainbow power.
Rainbow power. All right. Rainbow power. Yeah, there's like something about rainbow power, I guess. I mean, so this is a movie. It came out in 1986 was when it was released. I think it took less than a year to make. It cost $1 million per minute to make, plus whatever they paid actors at the time. They paid a little bit of money to Michael Jackson to sing the songs, obviously. He was probably the most costly element of the film, I would say, because George Lucas and was the writer, right, with a guy named Rusty Lemarand. Okay, Rusty Lemarand is known for like things like Yentl and stuff like that. I know it's hard to believe a guy who wrote a musical, writing a musical space opera thingy, okay? And who knew, right? And of course, it's directed by Francis Ford Coppola. He stepped in when Steven Spielberg had to dump the project. He was originally supposed to be the director for this. And it's a very interesting work. It's got a lot of elements from other things that we've discussed, like Sally said, Star Wars, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Which makes sense.
We've got Angelica Houston being in the movie because she was in cahoots with Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh, that's right.
Cahoots?
That's what the kids are calling it these days.
Okay, I like that. So Angelica Houston, for those youngins out there who have no clue, all right, she is a very famous lady. Well, okay, Brianna, I know you watch older movies, but that doesn't mean other people do. So at the time in the 80s, she was like the reigning queen of beauty at the time. She had won several awards for being one of the most beautiful women in the world. And so she's like the shoe-in pick for this role because that's what's supposed to be going on. If we discuss the basic plot for a moment, okay, what it is it starts out with Captain EO and his crew of ragtag ragamuffins. I think it's a good way to put it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, ragtag ragamuffins.
Misfits.
Yep.
Misfits, yeah.
And what's going on is they're about to be drummed out of the Corps. We're not ever clear as to what the Corps is. There's some military thing going on, and with none of them are wearing any military uniforms, except the robot's got some awards. Epaulets. He's got epaulets. Very good. Sally came up with epaulets. I would have liked that word. Would have escaped
major.
Me. Well, basically what happens is they're on some kind of mission to go to this planet, which ends up being a planet of junk. They're getting yelled at by their holographic boss. Okay.
And they don't need to mess up this time like they did last time either.
And why is that?
Well, he just said if you mess up again, bad things. Very bad things.
Very bad things. No, I used to have a calculus book that you could look up in the back and it literally had very bad thing. So yeah.
Calculus in and of itself is a bad thing.
Yes. So there you have it, folks. Calculus and space all in one thing. And so they have to go down to the planet and there is a Star Wars Death Star type canal run like they have on the Death Star from the very first movie. And basically, like I said, that's got to be George Lucas's influence right there. It's important to note, by the way, everybody knows that the hidden Mickey is in the exhaust pipes on the Captain EO's spacecraft, right? Everybody knows that trick, right? Okay, just figured I'd mention that. And so we get down to the planet, and they have to, what do they do? Oh, yeah, they have to, like, go through the garbage, and they get captured.
Well, they got to find the homing beacon.
Oh, that's right. Well, they crash land into the homing beacon, right?
Well, yeah. Can I add that Hooter puts a garbage can on his head and it's awesome?
Yeah, he ties a hose, rubber hose to his nose, yeah. Puts a hose to the nose, right? And then a trash can on his head.
Yeah.
And puts something around his neck that I have no idea what it is. Some unidentified. Let's face it, folks, this is trash. But if you saw Hooter's bed, what?
He ate the map, so.
We think he ate the map. He wasn't too sure. So then after the Death Star scene, they crash land through into the beacon, like we said. They're disguising themselves with trash. And then what happens is they get captured. Okay? And I kind of like this scene, and I'll tell you why. Because this is another George Lucas influence. And this is right about when Return of the Jedi came out. If you remember the beginning of Return of the Jedi, right? You have Luke, and he's given R2-D2 and C-3PO to Jabba the Hutt. And he comes up in this cloak. Right, and if you pay very close attention, even though it's a black and white cloak and Luke's cloak was all black, is the stance and everything and the walking and the way the cloak lays on him is exactly the same as how the cloak laid on Luke. It's like, you know, he's playing a game to himself. It's basically what's going on there. So kind of dig that scene.
Yeah.
And they get marched in to see the queen. okay? And like I said, the queen is played by Angelica Houston, okay? And she's this spidery electronic-y thing, right?
Aww.
Right. Well, there's a good thing about the Robo Queen. You know what happened with her as a Robo Queen? Anybody as a Star Trek fan that's listening right at the moment?
It's like the Borg or something.
Exactly. If you remember the Borg Queen, right, took hard design from this character and brought it forward. That's how they designed the Borg Queen, was from this. From this movie,
from
in
Captain
fact,
Eo.
From Captain Eo.
Is her character part snake? She hisses a lot.
I think that's because she had a hole in a hose in her throat.
Oh, that explains it.
I'm very good at that. Yeah. Yeah.
The wonky sleuth strikes again.
All right. So, and then they do a sing and dance number because it's Michael Jackson. We can get into the singing.
Well, that's the gift.
That's the gift, right? Okay, so that's the point. Is there's this, the commander, is it Commander Bog, right? That's their boss, right? Okay,
yeah.
Just like popped in my head. So Commander Bog tells him, you know, make sure you give the gift, deliver the gift. We don't really necessarily know what the gift is, but the gift is, it's not so much, it's your rainbow power thing, right?
I mean, it's rainbow power. It's happiness, it's joy, it's the gift of song and dance.
And equality.
And equality.
And awesomeness.
And incredible mullets. It's all there.
Yeah. Leggings.
Yes. So can we just do one thing? My favorite thing that I just wanted to give a shout out to in the dance number was the two guys who basically come out of the columns and then you never see them again for the rest of the video.
Yeah. That would be one of the mullet guys, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're both the mullet guys, right?
I like the stormtrooper guys. That they freed these two stormtrooper guys. No. They stay as stormtroopers though.
Yeah,
they stay in the stormtrooper outfits the whole
guys.
Time.
Wait, folks, we're going for a special side mission because Shallan Given is here and she has a comment to say.
I think the guys who come out of the pole, they got the visual for the face because they're the ones in the costumes that are fully covered. Because they were the two really awesome dancers, so they got that gig. But they wanted some face time to have the recognition, so they were the people coming out, so you don't see them.
All right, I can see this. That's
my
one.
Theory.
That's a good one. We like Shallan's theory. We're putting it on Wikipedia tomorrow, and it'll be official.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and they dance and they sing, and it's a very nice number. so it's a song called We Can Change the World. For a long time, you could only get it if somebody happened to go into the movie and record it, because it was not available on an album until the mid-90s. They did the Michael Jackson Ultimate Collection, which is his white album. Okay, and you can now download this on iTunes. It is available. It's actually not as good sounding a version as when you're listening to it on the stereo in the theater. I just want to warn everybody, it's not going to sound the same. I have it, so I know.
No.
No, it would not be on my iPod. So after the singing and dancing, it ends where he gets charged up by the music, I guess, is how I kind of interpret the whole thing. I don't know if anyone has another feeling as to what's going on.
He also got charged up by the two dudes. You know, he tries to shoot his rainbowy goodness and take them out of their little Borg-like existence, and they, like, take it and shoot it back in him. And
oh, so you think he got supercharged.
He got supercharged. It's like when Thor sent the hammer into Iron Man, and he had all that extra power.
Oh, all right. Yep, that's very good. Yeah.
She just put that down for y'all.
She just, like, tied it with Avengers right there.
Yeah.
So that's about all you're going to get Avengers-wise from us now, right, folks? All right. I guess, you know, remember, we already did Star Wars because George Lucas, we did that part already. All right. So, and he gets supercharged, and he gives her one last zap, and it kind of, like, stays in her this time instead of being temporary like it stayed in all the other characters that he's been transforming throughout. And she slowly starts to transform, and the Spider Lady becomes Angelica Houston in a rainbowy outfit.
Yes.
Okay. And the whole world transforms from this trash world into this world of beauty and goodness.
Woohoo! And Michael Jackson salutes and says, "Peace out," and dances off.
That's right. Dances
in
off.
In his rainbowy goodness.
Yes.
In his rainbowy goodness.
Yeah. At the end, I forget what the actual songs are, but he's actually singing some parts for a song that had not actually been written yet.
Just
and he doesn't
part of me.
Right. But he doesn't complete the song until like 2 or 3 years later.
Oh, this is true.
So, and it gets released. And actually, I think he first previews it at a concert, and then he releases onto a thing. So it's, you know, it's very good. It's like we said, it's very cheesy. It is science fiction. It's actually, I would say it's high science fiction, but it's still B because it's not high quality, right? It's got cheesiness in it.
Well, parts of it are kind of high quality, I thought. Like the Death Star run looking part, and some of the parts with the spaceships, I'm like, this is actually pretty good. But one of my things that kind of drives me crazy is with all the fuzzy puppets you got going in there, that kind of takes away from some of the other effects. Yes. At least to me it does.
Okay. I could buy that. I mean, they look... Here's the thing, right? It's like, I agree with you. The ships, the sets look fantastic. The makeup looks fantastic, right? But when you get, like, the scenes in space where they show space behind, I don't think space looks so good.
Yeah.
And the robots, when they go through their transformation, I don't think they look so good.
They don't have
either.
That down yet.
I'm not sure why the one robot fits into the back of the other one. This is never, to me, made clear in the movie.
Don't dwell on it.
I get that he has a cut on his back. Yes, okay. Oh, fine.
You don't want to dwell on it.
I don't want to dwell. No dwelling.
Their transformation is claiming. Wait.
The transformation of the robots, to add to the fact that it's not that great, is claymation. So it's stretchy and plasticky. Think Pee-wee's Playhouse, for those of you who used to watch that in the 80s.
It's very much like that, the texture, and it just makes it look very wrong.
Okay. Well, did you know that most of the transformations are actually done backwards? Whenever they transform something into from A to B or B to A in any sort of special effects related world, they always start from the more complex model and work to the simpler model. Okay, so because the instruments are more complex, they start from the instruments and then they transform them into the robots, but then they play it back in reverse. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's a very common special effects trick, folks. Happens today, even when they simulate these things in computers, they do them one way and then play it in the reverse order. So, because it ends up looking better, is the general idea. All right, folks, we're going to wrap this puppy up. Here we go. We're going to start all the way down here with Shalon Given. She's at Shalon Given on Twitter, folks. You can follow her there. She loves getting around for On The Go and MCO. She is our video maven on The Go and MCO. So before we get Shalon's little thing, what we're doing is we're going to give she's going to get to comment a little bit, then we're going to give a star rating from 1 to 5, and then we're going to just say how long you will wait in the ride, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, 90 minutes, whatever, you know. I remember waiting 90 minutes for this once upon a time. So look at it. That way you used to have to, like, wait, and it would be all the way down. It was terrible. That was, like, years and years ago, because I'm older, folks, remember. Okay, here she is.
I really like this show. I come and see it just about every time I'm in the parks. I think it's 80s awesomeness. I would give it a 4 for what it is. For today's technology, it's not the best, but it's kind of nostalgic. I really like it. And like you guys were talking about Star Wars and Star Trek, I also like the puppets because they remind me of Alf's, maybe reject cousins.
Oh, you mean the two things that are feeding
yeah,
into one
they,
creature?
Yeah, they okay. make me think of Alf, so I kind of like that as well. I would probably only wait 25 minutes for this, though.
Tops. All right, so we got a 4 and a 25 minutes. That's not bad, folks. All right, so here she is. She's Dragon Alley. She's from Dragon Alley... .com. Okay, I got that right. I never remember because it's a bookmark in my browser, so I never remember this stuff. She's at Dragon Alley on Twitter, and her name is Dana Howes, for folks who want to know that. And here she is. She's going to do the same thing that Shalon just did.
I would give it a 3 just because I didn't see it until I was 25, so I was a bit cynical by then. And I love it, but I'm kind of wondering why they had to ruin the... Supreme Leader's world. It was her world. She was chilling there. She didn't do anything, and Michael Jackson and his Rainbow Bright Squad show up. I'm just saying that. I would wait about 20 minutes, because it's a nice air-conditioned area, and you can find some place to park it so you don't have to stand the whole time. So about 20-minute wait.
All right. 20 minutes wait, and a diss for the Rainbow Bright Squad. All right. Here she is, folks. It's Bree at ButterflyBree on Twitter. You know her. You love her. And here she is. And because she's on a show yet again, I know you guys have missed her, so that's why I'm hyping it up. Here she is.
Yay! Okay. So I'm actually going to go with Shalon on this, and I'm going to give it a 4 and say I would wait about 25 minutes. I've seen the show probably maybe 3 or 4 times only, but... yeah, I mean, it's not something that I would stand an extremely long period of time and wait for, but I do enjoy seeing it every time I come here, which is about twice a year. So, yeah, it's fun. It's cheesy. It's a bunch of rainbows. Go people!
Go people. All right. Here she is, Sally Kilpatrick once again. She's at Super Writer Mom on Twitter, and she does a whole bunch of writing stuff that she's welcome to plug if she wants to, but it's going to be too much for me to remember. Here she is.
Let's see here. I, too, would give this a 4. It'd probably be a 3, but it has the replica Death Star run, and it is seated and air conditioning, at least once you get past the original monitors. I would probably wait about 30 minutes for this, tops. It's cheesy 80 goodness. If you go into it with that mindset, I think you're going to like it.
Fair enough. And you know her, you love her, she's my wife, she's the reason why you can listen to this, because then all I have to do is put it up. I don't have to also edit it, because she does that. Here she is.
I like this as well. I like the rainbow goodness. I also think that, you know what, the technology is great for what was at the time. Hey, it was the 80s. This is good, the 80s. Better than Star Wars was a little bit. Not as good as new Star Wars.
How long would you wait?
I would only wait like 10 minutes, so.
Really?
I'm sorry.
So a really low wait rating from
but
Cheryl.
I would give it like 4 stars.
All right, well, 4 stars is good. All right, so we're good. All right, I just wanted to say, now I'm going to be a little bit more emotional than these people. All right, just for a second. Okay, so I have to say that I grew up with Michael Jackson, because you have to remember I'm a little bit old. Not literally, Shallan. But, I mean, you know, Michael Jackson was at the height of his heyday when I was in high school, and this is basically, you know, was a culmination of my high school in a, a 20-minute movie. So I really enjoy it. And I like it. I don't like having to remember all the good or bad things that came up with him in court and stuff like that later on. I like this because it's remembering him as I think that it's more fun to remember him. I really enjoy this. It's got a space thing. It's got a lot of science fiction ties in it. And so for me, I would go with everybody else. I'm a 4 as well, except for Dana, because she's a dissenter. Okay. And I would really, honestly, I'd wait whatever my friends wanted to wait for this ride. I don't care if it was 2 hours or 5 minutes. I would just hang out and go in and wait with them. That's kind of how I feel about it. Whatever it takes.
It's because you're a good friend, Todd.
Why, thank you, Brianna. Okay, everyone, so we're done. I hope you liked our little review of Captain EO here at Walt Disney World's Epcot Center, or Epcot, sorry, it's Epcot now. I'm like kind of getting the old thing, folks. We're going to do some more food and wine fun. I just wanted to say you can find us on disfilmproject@gmail.com for email. On Facebook, just look for Disney Film Project. You can also find us on Twitter at disfilmproject. You can also play our podcasts on Stitcher Radio for those of you who like to stitch. Radio podcasty things. All right, and that's about it. Peace out. We love y'all. Bye-bye.